Welcome to another edition of On Mic with Jordan Rich, the podcast for and about voice actors, singers, stage and screen actors, directors, producers, and listeners, anyone interested in the most fascinating of our instruments, the human voice. My guest today is calling in from her tucked away home studio in the Carolinas. She's an accomplished theater and screen actress who has settled in as a very popular audiobook presenter. With dozens of titles under her belt, Mill Nicholson may be best known to fans of Charles Dickens. She's performed several of his classics for the free site LibriVox.org. Mill has also narrated the life of J.R.R. Tolkien on the special edition DVD of Lord of the Rings. She works hard and loves what she does. Here then is but a sample from Nicholas Nickleby.
"You need not fear me," said Nicholas kindly. "Are you cold?"
"No."
"You are shivering."
"I am not cold," replied Smike quickly. "I am used to it."
There was such an obvious fear of giving offence in his manner, and he was such a timid, broken-spirited creature, that Nicholas could not help exclaiming, "Poor fellow!" If he had struck the drudge, he would have slunk away without a word. But now he burst into tears.
Oh, dear,
he cried, covering his face with his cracked and horny hands.
"My heart will break. It will.
"Hush," said Nicholas, laying his hand upon his shoulder. "Be a man. You're nearly won by years, God help you."
"By years," cried Smike. Oh, dear. How many of them, since I was a little child, younger than any that are here now? Where are they all?"
So let's talk now with Mill Nicholson, and she's got a lot to say, and she says it beautifully with that accent of hers. Hi there, Mill.
Hello, Jordan.
It's lovely to chat with you. You're in North Carolina. You don't sound like a native of North Carolina, however.
No, actually not. No, I was born in the north of England and raised in the south of England, then moved to Massachusetts, and then on to North Carolina, and then on to Hollywood, and then back to North Carolina.
There's another famous North Carolinian, I think his name was Andy Griffith, or was that South Carolina? One of the Carolinas.
Yes.
He had a pretty good career in terms of Hollywood and North Carolina. Well, before we get into the voiceover work you do as an actress, you did mention Hollywood. You've done some movies. You've done some television, as has your husband, Gary Bullock. And it must be fun to be able to work on your own and produce the kinds of works you do because you're in control. I mean, you're reading great works, but it's all you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In particular with LibriVox. Doing my free Dickens, because I set my own characters, voices, and my own time for getting it completed, and so that's wonderful.
Can you talk to the audience and me and tell us more about LibriVox? It's spelled LibriVox. For those who don't currently subscribe, what kind of service is it?
It is a site that a number of people got together and decided what they wanted to do was record all the literature prior to 1923, in other words, the out of royalty, which of course Dickens and all of those are in. And they do it for free. Everybody works free, the cataloguers, the listeners, the narrators, and it's just absolutely wonderful to me.
What a labor of love that is, but it's not exactly a small chore to read a Dickens novel, is it?
No, actually it isn't. It takes several months.
My goodness. So along with some of those, you've been reading other novels, I've noted, on your website. Do you have a particular genre besides Dickens that you like to head to?
Well, if I get the chance to do comedy, I love to do that. With ACX, which is a branch off from Audible, I've done 26 independent writers' books, which are a mix of thrillers and romances and period comedies, etc. And they've all been fun to do.
I love audiobook work, done a little bit of it, but I really love the work that people like you do because
There's such a texture to it and a development of character and character voices. So I want to peel back a few layers for the audience listening to this podcast on Mike with Jordan Rich as I speak with Mill Nicholson. You're known as a Charles Dickens missionary, it says here. Let's talk about how you tackle a book. Let's say Great Expectations. Do you map out ahead of time how each character is going to sound to us?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I do. I pick out all the characters, having downloaded from Gutenberg, which is another free site that provides the books like Dickens, and because you can't really just read them from the book, I need them at a certain font size so I can see them well enough in the booth. So I download that, divide them up into chapters, and I go through all the chapters, picking out the characters, and dividing into categories like older men with their age, accent, and any description that Dickens gives, and then middle-aged men, young men, older ladies, middle-aged ladies, young ladies, children, male and female, babies, and other characters like, say, the Raven and Barnaby Rudge. And then start creating voices for each one and filing those. And once I'm satisfied with each voice, sometimes it takes a little bit to get a character just the way I think that they sound. And I keep reading over what they're saying and thinking, ah, yes. Maybe that's how they do it.
Well, Mill, does it help, too, that Dickens was so descriptive in these character development pieces?
Oh,
in terms of what they look like, how they dress, how they walk, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes. It creates a picture in your mind, and then the mind creates a sound, and then hopefully you can bring that sound out and into a voice that suits. And then all of those voices, which sometimes there's 50 or 60 in a Dickens, are all on the file there. So if I can't quite remember when I'm starting a chapter which of the voices I have for whoever, I just refer to my file and listen and think.
And the process, as you say, can take months because when one reads a book silently, you can read along and skim along and so forth, but you have to read every word. We can't skip any words.
No, you really can't. And that is the time-consuming. First of all, I reread the whole novel again because I have read them all, but, you know, sometimes some years ago. And then the downloading and then the setting up to do the novel, dividing the download into chapters and printing it out, paginating each chapter, then putting all the character names in the margin with the mood of the line that they're saying.
Right.
So that, you don't say a line in the wrong way and then get to the end and realize this person was really angry. And you did a soft little gentle.
soft little gentle. I love that. Well, it's interesting because if you're doing a voiceover script of a commercial or a short narration, you're doing the same thing. You're notating where you want to use inflection. But in this case, it's a Dickens classic or a classic of another nature, and it's so long and extensive. I can see where it would take months.
Yes. And for me, it has to be absolutely right before we get started. And my husband is my producer. And we've worked together on so many projects over the years with acting that it is wonderful to have another team thing to do again.
Because as you know so well, the Audible.coms and the LibriVox have enabled people to enjoy books who they either don't have the time to sit down and read because they're commuting or maybe they're blind or what. It could be any number of things. And what a wonderful way to open up the world of, say, Charles Dickens to new readers. Do you get comments and feedback from people often?
Actually, I have over 1,000 emails from around the world.
Wow.
And actually over 500,000 downloads now from LibriVox.
Now, Mill, tell me how people can best access the work that you're doing in, say, the Dickens world. How can they do it online?
If they go to our site, ACT2SC3.com, they will find all the links to the 9 Dickens that I performed.
So it's Act 2 SC3, and is that Shakespeare? Is that what's the connection?
Act 2 Scene 3, actually, because that's about where we think we are in our lives.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay. Talking with Mill Nicholson, who's married to Gary Bullock, and we're talking about the work she's been doing for years now, and it's all free, and she does it out of the goodness of her soul and heart, and because she loves it. She's a professional actress. The works of, say, Charles Dickens. What makes Dickens so cool today, in your estimation? Why is he still so relevant?
He's so passionate. his comedy and his descriptions. Every time I read one of his books, I am absolutely amazed at how he can pull you in all the time. Everything is so true to life. People often laugh about the names that he creates for his characters, but you know, after you've heard the characters for a bit, you realize why they were called what they were called. They're just, you know, funny to listen to as a name, but when they speak, it seems to work.
When he went on tour and visited places like Boston, for instance, he would be reading some selections from his works, and he was considered the rock star of his day. He wrote, did he not, pieces that were very well tuned to the ear as well as the eye?
That's correct. Yes, he did.
So it's a natural extension to take those words and have somebody of your caliber read them. I'm sure Dickens would be very proud to know that his work is in good hands.
I'd love to think he did.
So what other acting jobs are you and your husband involved in now? I've seen your website and some interesting characters with makeup and effects and so forth. What are you guys up to besides the books?
Well, actually, now we are totally involved in the voiceover. We are very tucked away, a long way, about 45 minutes from the nearest town. So we really don't have access to stage or et cetera. 15 years in Hollywood, we thoroughly enjoyed, but it came to a point where not much work was coming in, and it seemed like a good time to withdraw. It had been fun, and we both got some stuff. I did actually more stage work than I did anything else in L.A., of all things. And then we decided to come back. And, of course, when we got into voiceover, it was like, oh, my gosh, we're performing again.
And as I mentioned, you're performing again without all of the accoutrement and the scenery and the stages. It's all in the imagination, which is cool.
That's true. Yes, I'm in my little booth. And Gary's out there in the office with the headphones on and listening and as he says, enjoying the heck out of it.
I do have to ask you, since it's on your IMDb page, about two films that I note. You appeared in a movie called Spy Hard, which means you worked in one of the great spoofs with the great Leslie Nielsen, right?
Yes, I did indeed.
What was that experience like?
Oh, that was lots of fun, as a matter of fact. I did meet him, and I did... meet Andy Griffith, who was in it too.
Oh, we mentioned him earlier. How ironic, yes. Right.
And the reason I was actually just a day player in that. I was the countdown lady. My voice came over the microphones in the studio all the time during the movie, counting down supposedly this rocket. And then at the very end, a producer who was determined to have his little scene in persuaded the director to let me be seen. And of course, you're hearing this lovely, calm voice all the way counting down, you know, 99, 98. And then it shows me, actually, with my hair frazzled all over the place, a cigarette hanging out of my mouth.
Yes. I remember a crazy movie, but fun, really goofy and really fun. And you could tell those guys, Leslie and Andy, were having a good time doing it at that point in their careers. And there's another film, too, that's listed here. And the reason I want to mention it is because I believe it's the same film that is now a TV series, The Handmaid's Tale. Am I right?
I don't know if it's a series. I haven't heard that, but that was the movie then. And I'm not sure. I don't know about the series part of it, actually.
Well, you do live in the sticks then. Absolutely.
Oh, we do. Yeah. We try and keep up to date, you know, through NPR and et cetera and... you know, the various stations. But we do miss a bit. That's true.
Well, let me ask you before we close out here, and we'll play another example of your work and that beautiful voice and the way you bring these stories across. For advice for anybody who's listening, many people in the industry listen to this podcast who want to further their talents and further their careers. In terms of doing audiobook work, which might be old or new, what advice would you have for people?
I would suggest that they... go to the site ACX.
Okay.
And there they get the choice of auditioning for independent authors' books. And if they are given the opportunity to do one, then they can do their first book. As far as the reading itself is concerned, all you can really do is practice reading out loud. I used to read a lot to my children when they were growing up. And, of course, being on stage helped me as well. But just simply reading out loud as much and as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But ACX is a great way to start.
Well, what a wonderful suggestion. And we'll pass it along in this podcast to those and my students and others who want to find out more. Well, congratulations on doing what you love. I mean, it's great. And also knowing that you're sharing it with hundreds of thousands, if not more, around the world. That's really, really quite cool.
May I tell you something rather quickly?
Of course.
My agent is Richard Curtis, who is a wonderful, wonderful agent in New York. He's actually a publisher. His first venture into voiceover was taking me on. And it all came through from him having listened to some Dickens, loved it, sent me an email. I replied to him, and he replied to me saying, I hope you get well paid for this. And I sent back and said, no, this is all love. It's done for free. Well, he's from New York. New Yorkers think you should be paid. So he said, I'm going to find you work. And he did. He got me 9 books on Audible, the fantasy series by Dave Duncan.
Mm.
And followed by 8 Western series books by Janet Daly. And that's how my paid end of things began.
So there you go. I mean, you're certainly a professional and you should be compensated. So your love of doing this has led to some nice, shall we say, extracurricular activity that pays off. We've talked a bit about your husband. I've mentioned him several times. We haven't mentioned other men in your life, including your sons. And I know you wanted to do a little shout out to them, so feel free.
Yes, I did. I'm such a lucky mum. I have 3 wonderful sons, Andy, Graham, and Steve, each a year apart. And they have followed me in all my endeavors and encouraged me, actually, to go to L.A. and follow through on my acting end of things. And they've just been supportive in anything I've wanted to do.
That's so nice to hear a parent say that about kids. It's usually the other way around.
Yes, true.
And what are you working on right now? What's on the studio hot plate right now?
Well, right now I am about to do a recording of René Descartes, a philosopher in the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
And just prior to that, I did the works of David Hume, who was a philosopher in the 1700s. And this is all free again on another site called earlymoderntexts.com. And I have a few more to do, and probably all the way through 2018 by what they're telling me.
No one can say that you don't have a sense of the classics. There's no question about that.
It seems to be so, yes. And as my husband is a major in philosophy, he's just delighted.
Well, I want to remind people it's Act 2, the number 2, SC3 for scene 3, SCNumber3.com. Act number 2, SC3.com. And people can link up, and we're going to play a little bit more on the out cue here before we leave. But it's so nice meeting you, and I will say this, everybody who hears that accent is usually impressed to the point where they think you must be the smartest person in the world.
Well, of course.
And the humblest.
No doubt about it.
Well, it's lovely to meet you, Mill, and your husband looks like a real nice guy, Gary. And thank you for bringing us the magic of Dickens and so many other great books.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Mill Nicholson, known for her outstanding work in audiobooks with a particular penchant for Dickens. So here then is an appropriate closeout to our interview, one with a seasonal twist. Take it away, Mill.
What's today? Cried Scrooge, calling downward to a boy in Sunday clothes, who perhaps had loitered in to look about him.
"Aye,"
returned the boy, with all his might of wonder. "What's today, my fine fellow?" said Scrooge.
"Today?"
replied the boy.
"Why, Christmas Day!"
"It's Christmas Day," said Scrooge to himself. "I haven't missed it. Oh, the spirits have done it all in one night. They can do anything they like. Of course they can. Of course they can. Hello, my fine fellow."
"Hello,"
returned the boy. "Do you know the poulterers in the next street but one at the corner?" Scrooge inquired.
"I should hope I did,"
replied the lad. "An intelligent boy," said Scrooge. "A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the big one."
"What?" "'The one as big as me,'
returned the boy. "'What a delightful boy!' said Scrooge. "'It's a pleasure to talk with him. "'Yes, my buck.'
"'He's hanging there now,'
replied the boy.
"'Is it?'
said Scrooge. "'Go and buy it.'
"'Walker!'
exclaimed the boy.
"'No, no!'
said Scrooge. "'I am in earnest. "'Go and buy it, and tell them to bring it here, "'that I may give them the direction where to take it. "'Come back with the man, and I'll give you a shilling. "'Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, "'and I'll give you half a crown.'
"'The boy was off like a shot. "'He must have had a steady hand at a trigger, "'who could have got a shot off half so fast.'
You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced and hosted by ChartProductions.com. On the web at www.chartproductions.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and download this podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.